cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo. We are back for another episode of the Snake Pit. And of course, I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, Master of the DDT, Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, we're fresh back from WrestleCon in Philadelphia. Always good to see the fans, isn't it?
It's always good, man. You know, it just blows me away when these people come up and tell me about stories in their life where I made something happen for them. And it shakes my foundation, man. It really does.
Man, always a great turnout at WrestleCon. The fans always show up and show out. And yeah, man, it's the long lines as always. It's good to be Jake the Snake Roberts, isn't it?
It can be. It's good being Jake the Snake. Check out this clothing I'm wearing, brother.
Yeah, why don't you tell me about that shirt, Jake? That's pretty sharp.
And Robert Graham puts these out.
Here, I'm going to get a close-up.
He puts out a lot of shirts, man. And I'll tell you, wait, in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to be wearing a lot of it.
Robert Graham. Yeah. So, man, I'm going to look up the website for Robert Graham, and I'm going to go ahead and link it in the description because, like, that's a badass shirt. I wouldn't mind one myself, and I'm sure the listeners wouldn't mind one.
There you go.
All right, Robert Graham, check out the description here, and you folks can get linked to their website. But look, you know, last time we talked about Mid-South, it was last month. We talked about your return to the company. You're back under the Bill Watts banner, and things are looking pretty good so far. It's, you know, it seems like you're getting pushed as a top heel. But when we last left off, we discussed your singles match with a young Shawn Michaels. And, oh, boy, maybe a little bit of a disappointing performance by HBK, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite the guy that he would go on to be. You know, this guy who's largely considered an all-time great in-ring worker. And, you know, we've talked about Shawn a few times here on the show, but something we haven't discussed is what he's up to nowadays. You know, Shawn works as the director at NXT, which is where all the WWF talent is trained and groomed for either Raw or SmackDown. Now, as a guy who built a Hall of Fame career by moving from territory to territory and working with and learning from talents across the country, what do you think of having one location dedicated to developing young talents?
I think it's a great idea, man.
Really?
Yeah, they can pull talent from all over.
Mm.
I mean, that's what they've done. They give tryouts and stuff, and then they pull these guys in. Yeah, it's really hard to do this. You don't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to get this done today. It's not happening. And it takes a lot of time. And the more time you can spend around top talent and be fed good or great material, the better off you are. So I'm sure Shawn's feeding him well. He's got a lot to feed from. So there's no excuse not to be putting out great talent.
That's for damn sure. All the best of the best across the country, across the world, really, are trying to make their way into WWE and get a spot, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you feel that Shawn, modern-day Shawn, well-suited for this role?
I think so. He's as good as anybody else that I know. I can't think of anybody that would be better.
You know, for most young performers nowadays, Jake, the only place to get reps is on the indies, which, I mean, it is not anywhere near as consistent in providing people with everyday reps as it was back in the day. If you were to give some advice to young indie performers on how to develop themselves without the benefit of the Performance Center, what kind of advice would you give?
Get as many damn reps as you can, man. And when you do get a rep, make it mean something. Make it worthwhile, you know. Create You got to be creating all the time. You got to be honing your skills, man. You got to make them sharp. Sharp as a razor blade, man.
I believe you told me before that ring rust starts developing inside of like 4 days.
Yeah. Sooner than that.
So, brother, if you're a young indie guy, I wouldn't be thumbing my nose at $10 payoffs or even hot dog payoffs. Get out there and get your reps.
Do what you have to do, man. I mean, you might turn up your nose at a $25 payoff, but hey, guess what? While I was working full time, I got some $25 payoffs.
Mm-hmm. We hear the stories about people getting paid in hot dogs or like a Diet Coke or something after a match. So like, could be worse, brother. Just go do it. Get those reps in.
Yep.
Well, look, I think we should also mention here that at the end of February, speaking of Shawn Michaels, he's going to get the debut match for John Nord, Nord the Barbarian, as he's known here. Man, John Nord making his big debut. Jake, we discussed it before, but if you would, let's give our listeners a little reminder about how you reacted when you first laid eyes on John Nord.
Well, he scared the hell out of me. He was a beast, man. 6'9". 300 pounds, but he had a 34-inch waist. You know, he was incredible. He had muscles in his shit. You know, he dropped a turd, it had biceps. But as soon as I seen him, I said, oh shit, I gotta grab this guy and make him my tag team partner, because I damn sure didn't want to have to wrestle him. I remember the first time I seen him, he had this huge black eye.
Yeah.
And I said, what the fuck happened? He said, oh, that was my second match.
Holy shit, man.
Your second match. I said, who hit you? He said, nobody. I ran into the post and wanted to make it look good. Book!
That's what you'd probably call a road grader in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
That's not a dude you want to get in front of.
I damn sure knew that he was going to be my tag team partner, though.
You got beside him instead of in front of him, and that's just smart business. Now, like, I know that you obviously didn't want to necessarily have to step into the ring with this big dude, but I also know that you hate tag team wrestling. Did you feel like you could bring the best out of John Nord?
I just knew that I could make something happen with him. Mm. Because just looking at him scared you, you know?
Yeah.
Especially after I gave him his haircut.
The mohawk, you were responsible.
Yeah, I was responsible. He had a big bushy head of hair, man. Looked like one of the Samoans. And I said, we can't have that. Let's give him a mohawk.
It worked. He looked good.
Yeah.
I noticed that Butch Reed is interfering in Nord's matches during this early part of his run here, which makes me think it's probably around the time that the two of them got crossways and ended up getting into a shoot fight.
Yeah.
Were you there when that fight was actually happening?
No, I was in the ring, thank God.
Man, that must have been something.
I wouldn't have wanted to have been near it.
Yeah, it's like the fucking Tasmanian devil. You don't want to get pulled into that shit.
Yeah.
Do you remember what started the beef between the two of them?
Oh, I don't. I can't remember that far back, brother.
Well, you get a couple alpha males out there, I'm sure that shit's just bound to happen. After arriving in January and reestablishing yourself in the territory, your first feud upon returning appears to be with Terry Taylor, as you'll come out and challenge him a few times in February for his TV title, but at times when he's already been scheduled to work matches, so he can't accept your challenge, which is like your angle now is that he's a coward.
Right.
It's a nice storyline idea here. Was this the first time that you would have been around Terry Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, so we discussed him last week and how Vince kind of misused him in the WWF as the Red Rooster. But here in Watts territory, of course, he's a featured act and seems to have a lot of crowd support too. By this time, you had seen a lot of performers, big stars all across the country. Did you think that Terry had the goods to be a top guy in wrestling when you first met him?
Not a top guy. Not a top guy. You know, he could hold his own on the card, but he didn't have for the main event.
Now, what do you feel that Terry was lacking?
Size, The way he projected himself wasn't strong enough. You know, he was, he had a lot of cute moves, you know, but cute will get you killed in the real world.
Yeah, well, it got him killed in the WWF too, it seems. But man, I mean, I think that it just goes to show, like, being a good looking dude, being in good shape, having the ring skills, it's not quite enough. Like, you've still got to have that connection and that X factor with the crowd. And I just don't know if he had it as strong as some other guys.
He did. He sure did.
Well, you are finally going to get your shot at Mr. Cock-a-doodle-doo on March 7th with his TV title on the line. Let's have a look at the final minutes of this one. Okay, Jake. Oh, boy. This could be a mistake. You're climbing to the middle rope. Missed with the elbow. A spot we do not see often from you. Terry Taylor's making his way back up to his feet. Oh, boy. He's firing up babyface style. Catching with a punch. Another one. Another one and you bump. Oh, he is on fire right now. All right, a big body slam. And he drives the knee. Jake, you're in a bad way. He goes for the cover. Quick two count and you're up. Back to the corner. There you go. You put on the brakes, give him a kick. Uh-oh, but he's coming back with some punches. Drives you into the corner. You come out with the clothesline, double down, and the ref has got his count going. Great shot of you trying to make your way back up to your feet. Here we go. Hit Taylor with a hard punch. He gets to the ropes. Oh. He goes over on the attempted body slam, catches with that forearm. One, two, three. That is it. Terry Taylor secures the victory over you, Jake. But doesn't look like you're done. You've got that boot off. Got him. You got to get your heat back, brother. Nailed him with the boot. Threw it outside of the ring. You're not done yet. You're going under the ring, and you got a chair. Oh, boy. Randy Anderson did his best to stop you. He threw his little ass out of the ring. Here we go. DDT on the chair. You're setting him up. He's down, and he is grabbing his head right away. He's checking himself. Oh, dude. Yeah, he is busted open. That's, boy, that's that blood happened fast. You're slithering out of the ring. Oh, man, yeah, he's bleeding bad. You're out of the ring. Refs are checking on Terry Taylor. You keep your heat. Okay, so Terry gets the win, but you keep your heat. Man, Jake,
you know, I DDT'd him on that steel chair, and it busted him open.
That's one of the questions. So one of the things I noticed right away there was, like, the blood was instant. I was like, did he blade that fucking quick?
He didn't blade. I busted his open. He got fined $500 for bleeding on television.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
I said, he cut himself, man. I didn't fucking bust him open.
So, wait, Watts would have fined you if he thought that you had dropped him too hard?
Right.
You know, I know that that when you would drop Steamboat and Hogan, you would bust them open. You got Hogan on a ramp and Steamboat on the outside. And now it's like on a chair. I mean, is there any way to protect a guy?
Nope. No
way at all. You just give it hell and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Man, that is something else. It stuck out right away because I was like, damn, that is fast. The blood just started. So any issue with Terry afterwards?
No, I told him before we did it, I said, it's going to bust you open.
And he was good with it?
Yeah. He thought he could keep it from doing it.
Just like Steamboat thought he could protect himself.
Yeah.
Not so much. The other thing that really stuck out to me there, Jake, was that I saw you try that elbow off the second rope right at the top of the match. And I have not seen you do that any other time in your career that I've looked through. So do you remember like why all of a sudden you were doing this move?
Just so I could miss something.
Okay. And so that was a move that you never hit that move. It was always designed to
No,
miss.
I've never hit it.
Why do you think you took it out of your repertoire?
Because it hurt.
That's a good enough reason. You'd get your heat back after the match, as we discussed, but like, do you feel like it does more harm than good to a new character like you that they're trying to build that just came in to have you take a clean loss?
That didn't hurt me.
That you using the boot afterwards, and then especially busting him open on the chair, I think helped you out a lot.
Oh yeah, sure did.
Well, the next week, Taylor challenges you to a match, but gets interrupted by DiBiase, who is the reigning North American champion. Ted said that now that TV is national, the TV title meant more. So the title for title match takes place. You'll try to interfere and help Ted, but Taylor secures the win and becomes North American champion. So, I mean, two big wins, 2 weeks in a row for Terry, who's clearly viewed in a positive light at this time by Watts. But rumor has it that he was not viewed in a positive light behind the scenes all the time,
No.
by the boys. Looking back on it now, do you think that was jealousy, or what was it about Terry that pissed people off?
Nobody felt like he needed it, deserved it, you know? Fuck, you can't put all the eggs in one basket, man. Yeah.
One of the other things I've heard is that he could occasionally be a little bit mouthy behind the scenes. Did you
Well,
experience any of that?
he was cocky.
And the other thing I've heard got him heat, and maybe you can speak to this, was that he was kind of like a stooge, not only to the office, but also to the dirt sheets.
Yep.
That'll definitely get you heat.
Yep.
Now, do you think that this perception hurt his career long term, or was he just kind of fucked from the beginning without that X factor?
I think it hurt him long term. You know, I think that's what got him in trouble with Vince.
Okay, maybe Vince heard that he was talking to Meltzer and the like.
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, I know that he worked in Mid-South in some office capacity. Remind me, what was his role?
General manager.
Even at this time, he was general manager.
Yes.
And he's getting the push.
Yes.
It would be hard not to fucking hate that
Yeah.
guy. Now, when a guy like Terry gets a spot like that, do you still view him as one of the boys, or are people a little bit more cautious around him?
Yeah, nobody's talking to him.
How could you? Like, you just assume you're talking to Bill Watts every time you talk to him.
Yeah, nobody
Oh,
on him.
how long did it take before you started booking?
I'd been booking before that.
In Georgia, right? Now, when did Watts give you the nod to give it a shot?
Oh, before this,
Oh, okay. So, like, right out of the gate, you were helping.
I'd helped Ernie Ladd
Gotcha.
back in those days.
So, you're saying your first run with Mid-South, you were
Yeah.
helping.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, it did when you started booking, do you feel like it affected the way that the other boys treated you behind the scenes?
Some, a few.
Like, how so?
Usually it was the few that wanted to kiss ass or something, you know? Didn't have time for it.
So some guys would come up and say, like, oh, try to essentially position themselves to get better booking from you.
Right.
Okay. But you were sniffing that out and being like, nope. Well, on March 21st, you're in a pretty interesting match as you'll team up with Jack Victory in a four-team elimination match against the Rock and Roll Express, Dirty White Boys, and Brad Armstrong with Tom Pritchard. So that's eight people in one match, but only two are in the ring at a time. However, you're able to not only tag your own partner, but you can tag in members of the other team as well, which to me is pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the final minutes of this one. All right, you're in there. And you're going on the attack here on Hoot Robert Gibson. There you go, gut buster. You're going for the cover here. Robert gets his foot on the ropes. Oh, your buddy Jack Victory tried to help. Ooh, driving a knee right into his face.
And you've got them locked in a sleeper. Well, I don't know what that camera angle was. But okay, you got the sleeper there in the middle of the ring. Well, it's almost like a bulldog choke you got him in. Ref is trying to tell you to loosen up, brother. Boy, that looks like a nasty little submission you got on him there. There you go. You tag in one of the dirty white boys there, Tony Anthony. He's on the attack with a snapmare and an elbow drop. Leg drop. Boy, Robert Gibson's just getting the dog shit beat out of him. Headbutt from Tony Anthony. And he's choking Robert. Oh my gosh. The sympathy the Rock and Roll Express are getting right now. There we go. Robert's firing back. Too little, too late. Here comes your old pal, Len Denton, the other half of the Dirty White Boys. Nice suplex. Boy, Len, an underrated worker. This guy can go. There we go. Spinning neck breaker. I'll tell you what, Robert Gibson kicking out of everything, showing some guts. There you go. Len Denton drives him into your knee and tags you in. You're back on the attack here on Robert. Boy, that looked like a throat chop or something. Stomp, and here comes Jack Victory, your partner. Jack picks up where you left off. Shoots off Gibson. Takes a kick to the chest. There we go. Shoots Gibson off again. Gibson with like the lucha go around. Double drop kick. He's down. Ricky Morton gets the three count. You guys are eliminated from this one. Okay, it's down to the Dirty White Boys and the Rock and Roll Express. You and Jack Victory are both shocked at the outcome of this one. Now, the strange concept aside, it's a pretty damn cool match here because it's the Rock and Roll Express involved. Would this have been your first time meeting Ricky and Robert?
Probably.
Now, Ricky and Robert, they probably kind of ushered in this style of tag team wrestling that's used a lot today in that they're doing moves simultaneously a lot, like double drop kicks, double arm drags. Yeah. Kind of a novel choreographed approach. What did you think of it as an old school guy, Jake?
I thought it was great, man.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It was exciting. If you can create excitement, I'm all for it.
So, like, you know, on the surface, I kind of take a look at guys doing shit at the same time, and I'm like, boy, you know, it looks like a dance routine almost, but I guess if there's enough selling and stuff, you can make it seem pretty real, right?
You make it happen.
Well, Robert Gibson was great, but Ricky Morton would be the standout of the group due to his ability to connect with the audience and sell. And our researcher, Andrew Hermes, even pointed out that they were so good, in fact, that the following year in JCP during the Summer Sizzler Tour, they were outdrawing Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, which pissed Dusty off and made him put them on the same card instead of on a separate one.
Yeah.
So Dusty's always the businessman. What would you say set Ricky Morton apart when it came to his ability to sell, Jake?
You felt sorry for him, man, and you loved it, you know? And that right there is all it took.
When you would sell as a baby face, you know, we always hear Ricky Steamboat say something like he would pick one person in the audience and sell directly to them. What was your method of selling?
I tried to sell to everybody.
Okay.
You know, I tried to sell openly. You know, give it to everybody.
Mm. So, like, it's theater in the round, essentially. You're in the center and everybody's surrounding you, so you've got to kind of sell to all four corners.
Yeah.
Last thing on the Rock and Rolls, rumor has it that those two did pretty well for themselves when it came to the ladies. Jake, any stories or things that you witnessed when it came to the two of them and their extracurriculars?
Those two were chick magnets. There would be a line of girls waiting. And a lot of jealousy between them. between us and them, you know?
I'll bet.
Like, fuck, give us something, you know? And the thing about it was, Ricky would get them in to the room, and then Robert would pull out his unusually large wang and beat him to death with it.
That is very eloquently put.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, holy shit.
Old Hoot, he had a hog, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Ricky would be through in about 13 seconds. But Hoot would come in and drop the sledgehammer on him.
That's probably 13 seconds, probably how long it took him to get that fucking piece of lumber out of there.
Yeah.
So are these girls just like showing up at the hotel, approaching him after the show?
Everywhere.
Good Lord.
Everywhere.
Good for them. I'm sure that the free clinics in the surrounding area were very happy with it.
Yeah.
March 31st, 1985, saw the very first WrestleMania in Madison Square Garden, which is the spiritual home of the WWF. Main event had Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff in a tag team match. And, I mean, there's a ton of stars there, too. Billy Martin of the New York Yankees, Cyndi Lauper, Liberace, and Muhammad Ali were all there. WrestleMania 1 isn't just a premier event, but it also marks a transition of sorts in wrestling, where it's going from being a form of entertainment kind of directed toward a very small niche audience to now this over-the-top main street entertainment spectacle. Jake, you started during this older era of wrestling, and now you're starting to hit your prime as it's morphing into a pop culture phenomenon. Right. I mean, obviously, you would go on to be part of this pop culture spectacle, mm-hmm. but at the time, how did you view this major shift in how the product was being presented?
Oh, at the time, I hated it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought they were exposing the business.
Because of, like, the cartoonish nature of it all?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you see people like Muhammad Ali, Cyndi Lauper, all these huge celebrities. Are you looking at it saying, like, boy, it's stupid, but there's an awful lot of money getting thrown around up there?
Yeah, there was a lot of change being tossed.
You know, it's what else is interesting about this is that Vince funded WrestleMania 1 with the sale of the Georgia time slot back to Ted Turner. So if our listeners recall, Vince's purchase of that time slot is what prompted you to leave Georgia and tell Vince to shove it up his ass. Now Vince is taking that moment and he's morphing it into probably one of the biggest moments in wrestling history up to that point.
Yep.
Mark, I mean,
move.
Yep. Now you, Jake, when you see that shit happening and know that you told Vince to shove it up his ass, and you also see all these celebrities and people making a shitload of money up there, I mean, are you like, man, in hindsight, maybe you should have stuck around?
Should have. I should have.
You never know what it would have done to your character at that point, though. Who knows if the snake idea would have come along?
No, you don't.
How do you remember how Watts would have reacted to this big spectacle event?
Oh, it was driving him insane.
Yeah.
Oh, he was going fucking crazy.
Do you know if he was trying to make any changes to the way that he was presenting wrestling?
No, he wouldn't change it.
Well, that probably goes to show why, you know, a couple years later, he's out of business.
Yeah.
So when you, see the success at this time, you're just back in Mid-South and you're kind of settling in. When you see that success, you obviously aren't signed to a contract there in Mid-South. So is a piece of you like, boy, maybe I ought to give Vince a ring right now and see what I can do?
That moment didn't happen until I had the, conversation with, Taylor.
Okay.
And when I had the conversation with Taylor and he told me I wasn't one of the top four baby faces in the company, then I said, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Hard to blame you, man. Who the hell wants to hang around that bullshit?
Yeah. I mean, he had himself above me. He had DiBiase above me. He had Hacksaw above me. He had Dr. Death above me. What the fuck? You know? And I'm in the main event every night.
Yes. And just to remind our listeners that when this happened to you, which is whatever, like 8 or 9 months after this, You are a red hot baby face. You've gone from you've the crowd turned you from heel to baby face, and you're that DDT is as over as anything in pro wrestling, and they're telling you like, you're probably whatever six on the card. Probably a good thing that they got to eat it though, whenever you did go up to New York, so they had to deal with that shit after you were gone.
Indeed.
Well, Jake, I think that that one's going to wrap us up for this week. Next week, we're taking a look back to what was going on with you 1 year later in the WWF in 1986, including your match at WrestleMania 2, where you made poor George Wells foam at the mouth, dude.
Imagine that.
Buddy, I cannot wait to cover it with you.
All right, my friend.
All right, guys, just want to remind you all before we go that if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, you've got to hit advertisewithsnake.com. Jake is a legend. He's still on TV. He just got signed back by AEW. He's still out meeting and talking to fans all the time, just like at WrestleCon here. And you can get him to put over your stuff to the exact demographic that you're trying to target. If you want some proof that it works, just listen to the show, pal. We routinely advertise for the same businesses because they come to find that what we do here works. Head to advertisewithsnake.com, get teamed up, make Jake the Snake Roberts your tag team partner right now. JakeTheSnakeShop.com has got all kinds of great collectibles straight from the man himself. If you're searching for a gift and you're like me, you'd never have a damn clue what to get, and you're always looking for something unique that will make a big impression. Well, how about a gift straight from the master of the DDT himself? Seriously, check it out. Jake has got great merch on the site, and there is more to come. And by the way, he is signing and personalizing all of it. Go right now to JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Hey, speaking of great gift ideas, why not get a personal message, a promo, a birthday wish, or a roast from the legendary Jake the Snake Roberts? You want to know what the experience is like? Here's a recent review from Reed. Jake, you should raise your price. Your mic skills are still perfection, and you really get it regarding what we want from Cameo. You've risen to the top among your elite group of peers once again. A cameo from Jake is great for any occasion, guys. Jake loves doing these. He loves having the chance to interact with fans. And if you're a lifelong Jake fan, you've got to check this out. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Go and order yours right now. We have got some amazing merch on the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. It's heating up out there, and we've got some really cool vintage-style tank tops and shorts that will show everybody you're an old-school wrestling fan. We have the amazing old-school Jake tank top that's a tribute to his early days in wrestling. Or hey, how about the WrestleFest-inspired shorts? That's not all we've got, so get over there, have a look, and up your style game this summer. Once again, it's the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com. Check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@snakepitpod. Some short clips from the show, highlights, and exclusive content. I've mentioned it before. We've got that bonus episode with Baby Doll talking about WCCW over there. And rumor has it, we've got more to come. So look, stop missing out on the full story because that's what we're doing. We will get somebody else to weigh in on stories that we've already told with Jake and really kind of dig in deeper on some of these subjects. So if you really want kind of the story behind the story, to steal a phrase from Jeff Jarrett, you've got to get over there and get subscribed today. It's youtube.com/@snakepitpod. Hey, speaking of YouTube, I've got to give you guys a quick reminder that if you like what Jake and I do here on the Snake Pit, you've got to check out my other podcasts. First, Ted DiBiase and I have a podcast called Everybody's Got a Pod, and the Million Dollar Man is telling some unbelievable stories after a career spanning nearly 50 years. You can listen to it on all podcast platforms, but I would strongly recommend that you follow us on YouTube because not only do we have exclusive clips from Ted there, but we also have a YouTube exclusive podcast with Hacksaw Jim Duggan that exists only on the Everybody's Got a Pod YouTube channel. The show with Jim is called The Hacksaw Hour, and it started out as an ad-free show's exclusive, but Jim and I wanted to widen our audience, so we moved to YouTube. You can still catch the first 8 episodes only on ad-free shows, but we just released episode 14 last week, so get caught up right now on our YouTube page. And that's not all. Jim is also providing videos of his day-to-day activities. Most recently, we added a video of Jim with his family at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Seriously, go and check it out and get subscribed now. It's youtube.com/@everybodysgotapod. If you've enjoyed the Snake Pit, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all platforms. That does a big favor for Jake and I, and really only takes you a second. And also, guys, I've got to give you a reminder that you can get the Snake Pit and all the other shows in our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com, starting at just $9 a month. Plus, tons of bonus content, interactive chats with your favorite hosts and wrestling personalities, so much more. The network is growing and adding awesome new stuff all the time. We recently got ECW legend The Sandman, who started a show on AFS. It's an AFS exclusive. Lex Luger is there, Kevin Sullivan, David Crockett with the book, and so much more. If you listen to wrestling podcasts and you're not subscribed there, you are missing out on so many incredible stories. Seriously, go and check it out, try it out, and I can guarantee you're going to love being part of the community. Again, it's adfreeshows.com. Catch Jake on X at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at MarcusPDAngelo on X, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. A short little episode here, but we wanted to take another look back to Jake's days in Mid-South. Man, these episodes never disappoint because it's such a cool, again, unexplored part of Jake's career that I love having the opportunity to kind of dive deeper on and really tell the full story of these experiences that Jake had that don't get talked about or brought up enough. I'm excited to keep bringing you guys more of the content, and I'm excited to see you next week right here on the Snake Pit.